win. It's a sure win, right? Sherwin Williams.
Punch me in the face, please.
My lord!
I'm trying to go deep here.
Yo doesn't have a doghouse. He has a left winger next to Koivu.
The Finnish conspiracy.
Booga booga, I eat poopy diapers.
And he can't score the puck if he can't shoot the goal.
It's been known to the state of California to cause cancers.
Well, this is the fanciest setup I've ever seen for a goddamn podcast with 50 listeners.
It's a love affair.
Welcome to episode 55 of Three in the Box, your mumps-free Minnesota Wild podcast. This episode is being recorded Sunday, December 21st, 2014. This is Aaron, and in this week's episode, we talk about bad refs, bad goalies, and bad immune systems. Well, what's new? In the studio with me is Kenny.
Yo.
And Jive.
Season's greetings.
Ho, ho, ho.
Ho, ho.
Ho, ho.
Ho, ho, ho.
Ho, ho, ho.
Ho, ho, ho. Before we get into things, I'd just like to remind you to follow us on Twitter at Three in the Box. How's your week been, guys?
Oh, my jaw's getting a little swollen. I don't know how mumps free we are.
You're gonna jinx us now. I think I've got something intestinal here.
Should we swap mics and see what happens?
I'll just share water bottles. I think that seems to work out.
Maybe
real
it's
well.
Time to do this podcast remotely.
I'm up to date on my MMRs. Are you? So.
Yep, I should be good.
Yeah.
Did you get your flu shot?
I don't do the flu shot.
No. I stay away from it too.
I did a flu shot once years back, and they gave it to us free at work. You know, so
free.
Okay.
Nothing's free.
Yeah, nothing's free.
So like, how many days of work did you miss?
Right, I missed no days of work because they gave it to us on a Friday. I was sick. I was sick all weekend, and I was good. Back in time to go to work on Monday.
So. I would have taken two extra days, been like, you know what? I'm still feeling the pain of this.
That's pretty smart, actually. Hey, right. We're going to give you something. It might get you sick.
Yeah.
Let's do this on a Friday.
Exactly.
Brilliant. Yeah. Well, let's get into this week. Well, it hasn't been a very good week.
It's been a week.
It's a week. The Wild lose three in a row with two of them being in overtime. On the upside, they scored 10 goals over the three losses. You know, that's not horrible. On the downside, they gave up 14 goals.
That's pretty bad.
All three games were obviously closed with the Blackhawks game, in particular, having some atrocious reffing. Yeah. The Dans, O'Rourke and O'Halloran.
Our favorites.
No, that's the Brads.
That's the Brads.
Those are our favorites. These are our second favorites.
Yeah, they're apparently trying to outdo the Brads.
Oh, see?
They called a terrible game. Several missed calls, including an elbow to the head of Prosser. And in a pivotal questionable hooking call in Halla, they said he hooked Kane.
No, he tapped his hands because Kane was offsides.
Right. That was with 4 minutes left in the game. It eventually led to a power play goal, and the Blackhawks win.
Usually both of those ended up leading to a Blackhawks goal, because the one with Prosser, he was trying to skate off the ice after his helmet got knocked off.
Yeah.
And it was essentially a 5-on-4.
Yep.
Well, sometimes your helmet just falls off, right?
Yeah.
Apparently.
Yeah. You know, when you get hit in the head with an elbow, it tends to do that more frequently.
This is a total bad segue here, but I don't know if you guys caught it over the weekend here. There's a Carolina game. Cam Ward, someone tapped the back of his helmet. Cam Ward, goalie for the Carolina Hurricanes. He pulls his helmet off, and the ref stops the play dead as the puck sails into the net. He pulled his own helmet off, and they didn't call it for delay of game or anything.
Well, see,
so that's just the your helmet just doesn't fly off. I'm just going off of that.
You know, while Kemper did that earlier this season because he took a bad puck into it.
And it damaged his helmet.
And it damaged his helmet. Was there anything wrong with Cam Ward's?
No.
Oh, well, then.
And there was nothing wrong with Prosser's helmet except for getting elbowed in the head.
Yeah.
So, goalies, next time that you see a breakaway coming down your way, just flip your helmet off.
It's a new knocking the net off the moorings
right.
Move, you know?
Yeah.
The Marty Turco move.
He got pretty good at that.
He did. He was a pro at that one. Well, I know it's sour grapes to blame reffing, but how is it that the Wild consistently end up losers in games with these questionable calls? It seems that we can't go a week without something like this happening.
And, you know, I think it probably happens to all teams. We just highlight it and spotlight it because that's our team that we're rooting for. You know, sometimes it goes our way, sometimes it goes the other way. But really, we're just probably putting a bigger light on it when it's against our team that we're rooting for.
Well, is there something inherently wrong with the Wild, though, where they can't overcome these injustices, we'll call them, that they mentally just get shut down and the refs are trying to screw us, this game is sunk, we're going to lose anyway?
Well, usually that'll put more fire under your butt, but I don't know.
I guess the bigger question is, I mean, should they be in the position that a couple of questionable calls are going to make or break the game?
Right.
If they were up two goals or whatever, and, you get these questionable calls or no calls, and they fight through it, it's one thing. But, when a game's that tight and you get the questionable calls, obviously that's kind of a BS deal. But,
right.
The game shouldn't rely on one or two bad calls to make or break your win or loss.
This is true. And I will say, as bad as the Blackhawks game was, last night against the Predators, there was a goal four called for the Wild where there's no video of the puck
right.
entering the net.
How do they – I still – being a Wild fan that I am, I'll take the goal. But, yeah, I don't see where that one came from.
It does go both ways.
Well, there was – apparently they've changed the rules, though. And if you don't see the puck go in the net, but, say a goalie's hand moves and the puck comes out and goalie's hand was in the net and now his hand's outside of the net and the puck was under it, you can infer that puck was under his hand at one point. And that's what they did is that – that's almost exactly what happened.
Yeah, because he kind of swept it from like behind himself.
Right,
right.
And basically, Toronto said, "Nah, no, we're pretty sure that puck was in the net, and you guys were just being really crafty." And then in the previous rule set, it wouldn't have been a goal.
Well, what about the? I believe it was against Chicago where Backstrom had the goal underneath his pads that it probably went across the line, but they ruled that since it was underneath his pad. And it was then forced in by a Blackhawks player. It was a no goal,
right? Because you can't.
Yeah, because they shoved him.
Yeah,
I mean,
it's like if he's got it in his hand, you can't just push his hand into the net.
The difference was the Predators goalie was actually sweeping under his own power with his glove from
right. The puck had squirted in outside of camera view.
Yeah,
and he squirted it back out.
Got it.
Tried to be on the sly, and
just saying that gave me a semi.
So, I mean, so it does go both ways, and even though I think under the rules we deserve that goal, it felt like we were cheating somehow.
Right.
But again, it was a goal. We ended up getting a point out of the game, so
I guess. So we've got to be thankful for it.
Right? We've got to be at least a little bit thankful for that, right?
It must not have been a Dan or a Brad.
Right, yeah. No Dans, no Brads. So it was good, pretty good game.
Yeah. Was it a Jerry?
I don't know.
Mike?
Bob? Probably John.
John?
Steve? Brad?
Chris?
Chad?
Chris?
Chris?
Yeah. Chris. It had to have been a Chris.
Robin?
Maybe. Is it Canadian?
I think, isn't a Robin? Robin's a pretty Canadian name.
Robin is a pretty, I mean, look at the Robins coming out of Canada. You got like Robin Thicke.
Maybe Malcolm?
Oh, Malcolm.
Okay.
Yeah.
We'll go to Malcolm. Wow, okay. So, I suppose we could just look at the game notes and see what it actually was, but
that wouldn't be any fun, though. No,
speculation is kind of entertaining.
We only care when they screw up. We don't care when they get things right.
Well, we should because, then we can start rooting for them.
The ref should be invisible. They shouldn't even know they're there.
Yeah. The fact that we know that there's a group of Dans and a group of Brads out there.
Yeah.
That's unfortunate.
Right.
Speaking of bad reffing, I don't know. Very unrelated. Did you see the image of the NCAA basketball referee who basically ran into the crotch of the mascot as he was doing stretches? The mascot didn't see him, so the dude ended up getting like just a spread of photos on his phone. He goes, "There's no way the cameras are catching this," and he saw the action coming. There's one shot where the ref's head is just directly in the crotch of the mascot.
Didn't catch that.
And apparently this basketball ref for the NCAA is known to make bad calls, like bad game decision calls, and is quite vocal about his
Well, most of those, not even just college, but most of those mascots are like young women. So maybe that was his like pickup move, you know?
Oh, yeah. If you get a chance,
hey, baby, I like your mascot.
One of our,
I'm into furries.
I think it was CJ. Who's our CJ Fowler?
Yeah.
I'm pretty
Folger.
Folger. I'm pretty sure he put up an imager of it.
Well, since we're ranting on different takes here.
It's been a slow news week.
Yeah, well, while losing, you know, we can only lament losses so much.
Right.
So going off this last week's games, you know, I got to say a thing. There's a couple things that really irritated the crap out of me. First off, as we know, the Wild play the Bruins on NBC Sports in what they've termed Rivalry Wednesday. We're not in the same division, let alone the same conference. We've never faced each other in the playoffs. Last time we faced the Bruins in a meaningful game was back in 1981 when we still had the North Stars. On what planet are the Wild and Bruins rivals?
Oh, it's a huge rivalry.
Really?
Where's the crickets?
Yeah. Right.
Yeah.
I mean, seriously.
Yeah, there's not a lot of fan base traveling back and forth for the games or... regionally, like, they're not even close to being in the same region, you know?
It doesn't make any sense.
How many times have the Wild even played the Bruins? It can't be more than 20.
I know that, but they probably haven't, actually. It's probably less than 20, because you figure, you know, the Wild have been in the league for, what, we're on 12 years now, 13 years? 12 years with the strike?
A shortened season where we never played anybody in the East.
And then about six or seven of those seasons, we only played them once a year.
And it's only been since this last lockout that we've had...
multiple games and not in that shortened season.
Yeah.
So we're probably well under 20.
Interdivisional rivalry. Well, I don't know. Maybe NBC and the NHL guests didn't get together on the same page there, I'm going to say.
Well, let's just call them rivals because they're going to help our ratings.
Right.
Well, yeah, they're rivals because Boston's going to be playing in another Winter Classic and Minnesota's still fighting for an outdoor game.
Why don't they just call it the Ratings Wednesday?
Oh, yeah, that...
I like it, you know.
Ratings Wednesday.
Why not, right?
Or,
So why'd we move our shows off of Wednesdays?
We could have copyrighted that, man.
Right.
That was ours.
Don't take
or we could move back to Wednesdays and call it the real Rivalry Wednesday.
Triple R.
The 49er.
Triple R.
Real
Rivalry Wednesday.
Wednesday.
Am I Astro Jetson? Ruh-roh.
It's Wednesday again. We haven't even been drinking yet.
Oh, man.
TJIR.
Thank God it's Wednesday.
Oh, boy.
Wow. I don't agree with that at all. They could have at least called it something different.
Well, you know, since I'm on the broadcast-related rant, in last night's game, Fox Sports introduced a jarring and irritating on-screen graphic of snowflakes and Christmas lights behind the score.
Tis the season.
Tis the season. This wasn't small and tasteful holiday trimming of the tree. This was a 50-foot-tall inflatable winter scene taking a dump on my Wild viewing experience.
Okay, Scrooge.
Bah humbug. Jeez, no kidding.
And this isn't the first time in the last couple of seasons where Fox has messed with our Wild broadcasts. Last year, they gave us the annoying news ticker at the bottom of the screen that's twice as high as the text that it contains. And the camera guys actually don't even follow they don't give enough space on the screen on their camera view. So we're actually missing part of the ice at the bottom.
Right.
You get superimposed ads over the end boards, you know, that I think was maybe 3 or 4 years ago they introduced.
Yeah. You kind of got used to those.
You ignore those because at least they're covering the crowd. So
yeah, it's not interfering with the game.
Right. You know, but, you know, will things eventually get to the point where we're looking at looking through a peephole at the game while the Kia rats dance around on screen.
The Kia rats.
And Pitbull tries to shill us some Bud Light in the Chiron. Are you up for whatever?
No, not that whatever. It's going to be back to the 4:3. Here's your 480p image of your low res.
I want to know what
it's gonna be like. A QuickTime window,
yeah.
Right in the center,
right?
180 by 60.
And then when the plugin needs to be updated, all you're gonna see is the little icon,
the Apple logo, right? Spinning.
Yes. No, I don't want Bonjour, damn it.
I want to know what happened though to the puck trails. As I get on in my years here,
no
puck tracks.
Yeah, I get on in my years here though. Now it's hard to see that little black puck.
You know they were experimenting with it again.
Oh, were they?
Yeah, there was an article a month or two back where they were basically putting trackers in the puck, and I think they're also talking about putting them in the skates of the players too, just to kind of track the movement in the game, and they could eventually lead back into the tracker, the Fox tracker, whatever.
Fox tracks.
Big data comes to the NHL.
Okay, from a data nerd side, that'd be pretty cool.
Right.
I don't want to see the puck tracker again.
No, but the data that it collects could be
the data would be cool.
The data could be, you know, you could see who's actually moving the most on the ice.
Yeah.
You know it's not going to be Vanek, you know.
think what EA Sports NHL 2021 will look like if they had all that data crunching in there. I mean,
or you know what,
super realistic.
Or what it could be is EA co-brands, and then during the game you're gonna have a star underneath the players.
Hey,
in game.
Oh, that would be awesome.
With a little hovering gray dot where the puck is,
right?
Just like in the NHL game.
Yeah, and it puts their name over their head.
So what happens to the opposing team? Who gets that circle then?
Well, you'd make them gray, right? If they got the puck.
All five of them gray?
No, it's usually they only highlight the person who has the puck, I think.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But usually you can see if you got two players going, you can see who the second player is.
Yeah, that's true.
But no. Whoever has the puck would get highlighted. Other people would just have like
their
name.
Yeah, their name over there.
Could you
head.
Scroll over it and see stats?
Ooh.
See?
Okay, this isn't sounding so bad now.
Interactive TV, man.
Yeah.
And also have a mode where I can turn off the NBC Sports announcers.
Yeah, it's called unplug your center channel on your home theater system.
Shut up, Pierre.
Speaking of Pierre, so during the Rivalry Wednesday game.
Rivalry Wednesday?
Rivalry Wednesday. I happen to be at a establishment that serves alcohol and food with my dad, and even without hearing Pierre talk, every time I looked up and saw him, all I wanted to do was say, shut up, Pierre. I still don't like that guy.
You thought it was the alcohol, but it was actually Pierre trying to make you puke.
I did throw up my mouth a little bit every time I saw him.
Well, you know, speaking of throwing up in your mouth, I think the Wild have been...
Wow, what a segue.
I know. Yeah. So Kemper, he was not able to play for a couple games there due to an illness. And he did come back in last night's game, though, in Nashville.
Okay, sort of.
Sort of, yeah. He gave up 3 goals on 14 shots in the first period.
Well, I guess it's better than 2 goals on 2 shots.
That's true.
It's an improvement.
Definitely. But then he was relieved by Backstrom in the start of the second. You know. So, I mean, you guys think he was still maybe just a little under the weather, or... Is Kemper in a slump here? What are we looking at?
According to him, after today's practice, he was in perfect health, and he felt that he had some great saves. He said he got 3 square meals and a bunch of water, and he said he felt really good. So, I don't know. Maybe this is just his style of play.
Just some unlucky bounces then?
Potentially.
Yeah.
I don't know. You know, Kemper has been... pulled now from how many home games in a row? Like 6 home games in a row or 4 home games in a row?
It's probably not a streak you want to continue on.
No.
Backstrom's coming in relief in 6 games so far this season. So that's not a small number of relief appearances.
He's been pulled in 4 of the past 5 home starts, and he's given up 14 goals on 44 shots. Kemper.
Yeah.
That's not a good stat for a number one goalie.
Definitely not. So, speaking of that, what do you guys think of Backstrom's performance as of late? I mean, the game against, I mean, we played a couple of tough teams, the Blackhawks. He came in relief there against Nashville.
You know, I mean, he's playing well enough, but you're basically judging him on a curve that is Darcy Kemper.
Right.
And Kemper's been pretty terrible. I mean, if you look at their December splits, Kemper's got a, 864 save percentage, which isn't good. That's in December. Backstrom's isn't much better, though, at 883.
Yep.
They're both not doing very well. It's up and down. December has been generally bad. I think we can agree on that.
Yep.
Has the Wild ever had a good December?
It's starting to seem like that, isn't it? I mean,
at least not in years past that I can recall. I mean, without looking at the actual stats in front of me, because I could be wrong, but always seems like they go in this big slump right in December.
Well, you'll remember last year, Yo was on the hot seat because of the losing streak that the Wild put up.
Right.
You know?
And wasn't it the year before where at the beginning of December they went in?
That was last year.
Leading?
Yeah. No, because the season before that, it was...
They went into the...
That was the lockout.
That was the lockout, yeah.
The start of the season.
Yeah, that basically. Was last year,
Was that only last year already?
Time flies, man.
See, you're getting old. You need those puck trails.
My vision is still good.
Right. But, even looking at their full season, Kemper's got a 903 save percentage. Backstrom's 901. They're looking basically interchangeable at this point.
Right.
And Yo's doing his best to play the hot hand when he has it. And it even shows in game because he's flipping and flopping, switching guys out.
Well, I saw a stat that somebody threw out there. I can't remember who it was. But I think it was going into like last night's game. The Wild, basically, anytime they had scored more than 2 goals, they had like a 16-3 record. But given the amount of goals that we're giving up now,
how much of that is goalies and how much of that is defense in front of the goals, in front of the goalies.
And Yo made that a point to say, Kemper struggled, but he was getting no help from his defensive core.
And that's one thing I'd like to point out, too, because I saw both Kemper and Backstrom. I mean, they're making a sprawling save, and they make an awesome sprawling save, but there's a rebound off of it, which you can't really blame them for because they just made one awesome save. But there was no defensive help coming
to get
in there.
the garbage out.
I see the defense and the collapsing forwards just standing around, stationary. You know,
right?
You got to get back and help out.
And they're not doing that.
Well, I mean, it is pretty impressive though, scoring 5 goals on Pekka Rinne right now.
He's one of the top goalies in the league. I mean. That's good, but the problem is on the backside, you can't give up that many goals. I mean, I know they give up a ton of shots, and that's a big differentiator there is how many shots on goal that they had last night.
Right.
It was a ton of shots on goal. The Wild are now starting to get outshot regularly.
Yeah. Whereas in the beginning of the season, it was very lopsided the Wild's direction. I mean, we were doubling teams' shots on goals,
right?
Basically,
we were shooting and blocking the the puck wasn't getting to our goaltenders, and we weren't getting shots on net.
And we've also been hitting a lot of posts. I've heard a lot of metal.
Those don't count as a shot on goal, though.
They don't.
But I'm pretty certain
posts only counts for horseshoes and hand grenades.
I know we brought this up on our Twitter feed. I doubt anyone keeps track of this, but I'd be surprised if the Wild weren't like leading the league over the last 3 or 4 years in pipes hit.
I think that's actually incorporated into the Corsi.
Oh, well, it is, but it's not explicitly defined on its own.
Right. As just a post hit.
Just post hits,
See? Now with the puck with a tracker in it, it could sense that. We would just know. I mean, because how many look like they might hit a post or, I'm looking for the big data in NHL. This is my call out for it.
You just don't want to get glasses.
No. All right. So anyways, beyond Kemper's illness, we did get a couple of returns in last night's game. Cook came back, Ryan Carter.
Cook looked great.
Yeah. But then
I'm glad he's back.
Yeah.
Granny, he was a last minute scratch though, due to an illness. And I guess Yo said that it was the stomach flu or right. The stomach bug that's kind of been going around.
You know, and it's not just going around the NHL. It's kind of going around everywhere because
tis the season.
Yes, it is. Right.
So, could we be seeing an influenza outbreak now then? So is the mumps scare over then at least?
You know, maybe they should, after the game on Tuesday against the Flyers, give them all flu shots, kind of like what they did at Jive's work, right. Where they did it on a Friday so you get sick while you're on vacation.
Right. While you're off for Christmas, here you go.
Give them a shot and
barf bag?
12-pack of Gatorade or something like that.
Here's your shot. Here is your, what's this?
IV.
Pedialyte.
Yeah.
Pedialyte.
So is there any way to, I mean, these guys, they share locker rooms. I mean, they share water bottles, I'm sure, over on the... is there any way to control the illnesses and not pass the stuff on?
You know, you're in such close quarters with everybody so often. I don't think so.
Right.
With the exception of making everybody wear SARS masks and writing your name on your water bottle with a Sharpie, I think it's just something that they got to deal with.
You might be onto something.
I think every team has to deal with it. Although I will say, with the previous mumps scares, I think they have been a little bit more, I'm presuming, a little bit more adamant about not sharing water bottles and stuff like that.
So I find it just insane that these are millionaires. And they're sharing goddamn water bottles. What kind of rinky dink cheap ass organization? Hey, we'll give you a couple $1 million a year. So you got to share this water bottle here.
You're right. Well, they got to pay somebody to keep them filled too. So, you know, you don't want to have to.
That's an extra FTE on the balance sheet.
Yeah, that's an extra bartender down there, right? So that said, I mean, do you think, coming out of the locker room or the bathroom in the locker room, do you think they got the little signs on the wall that say, wash your hands?
All boys must wash their hands.
When are they going to start putting Lysol in all the stalls? As soon as you get done dropping a deuce, you got to spray everything down.
Hey, maybe they'll just put those little, they don't even have to be the squirting ones. They can just be the ones they put their hands under and, you know, every time they come off the ice, they can sanitize
their hands.
Right.
I like this idea.
Yeah, see?
No.
A little anti-bac.
Yeah.
You know, these are also guys who are very fit athletes that are supposed to have high immune systems and, you know, but apparently, well, you know, I guess it doesn't
apparently they're human.
Yeah, apparently they're human.
What is this?
Have any of the Russians been getting sick lately?
They're cyborgs.
I'm just curious.
Oh, you're saying they're not human.
I'm just curious, you know, like, because, you know, Russia.
You do realize alien is just a term for a foreigner, right?
Yes.
It's not necessarily referring to a person from outer space, right?
I understand that. But, you know, who knows what hormones Russia was pumping into those kids when they were growing up.
Alien. Some Chernobyl
alien
crap going
attack.
On.
They want their hockey back.
A little Spock call out there.
Right.
So what else do we do to keep these players healthy?
I don't think that there is anything. Because like you say, they're all in close quarters. They're going to be sharing
needles.
Right.
Well, I mean, you know,
they're out there, they're sweating, and you're bumping against other people. And
even look at just hopping on a plane. How many times have you hopped on a plane where like the person sitting like 10 rows up from you is hacking? Oh, yeah. You're going, God, I'm gonna get sick once I get off of this plane.
And it always happens.
Every time.
There's the reason they call it an airborne disease, right?
So, yeah, I mean, you get those guys in a pressurized cabin, although supposedly airplane are supposed to be
filtered
and the cleanest air
BS. Have you ever smelled a fart on a plane? It doesn't just disappear.
No, that's something you got to be careful of too. You can't sit there and just let one fly on a plane, because if it's loud enough, everybody knows where it comes from, and then when it starts to stink, it's just horrible. You got to make sure those things are silent, man.
You just do
and then it gets pumped through everybody's little air thing above their head, right?
You're having an air trouble, you're losing cabin pressure, everyone's sucking in fart.
Oh, wow. We're out of control now. Anyways. moving right along. Maybe we should practice more on our podcast.
Yeah, or maybe you get outside where you can't smell farts.
Yeah. Breathe some fresh air.
If you have a bunch of, disease or whatever hanging around inside, what do? Well, let's go practice outside.
Why not?
There we go.
So the Wild actually had their, they do this every year, and I think they end up doing it again around Hockey Day Minnesota, don't they? Sometimes, usually, maybe, mm-hmm. maybe not. Mm-hmm. But they had their outdoor practice at the Oval in Roseville, Minnesota, just outside of St. Paul. Real good turnout today, which, I mean, for a December day in Minnesota. It was
a rainy December
day. Rainy December day in Minnesota.
Not snowy. Rainy.
Rainy. Kind of rather warm.
You guys wonder why we can't get an outdoor game.
Well, yeah, I suppose L.A. doesn't get rain, so, I mean.
Right.
How'd that work for Chicago when they had their outdoor game, a few years back?
Oh, that was just sloppy.
Yeah.
Anyway. So, the spirits of the players seem to be on the up after a, disappointing loss last night they were talking about. But, they have one game left before the mandated three-day Christmas break. Is this type of practice what they needed, a fun practice to loosen up a bit? I mean, it sounds like all the forward lines should be healthy, too, come Tuesday. So, yeah.
Well, like you said, they're loosening up a bit. I mean, yes, this is their job and this is their work, and it probably gets stressful for them when, things aren't going their way. They're hitting too many posts. The fans are restless because your power play isn't doing very well. But, I mean, part of it, with any sort of sport or game like that, you got to relax a little bit and get into your element that way by basically loosening up, yeah, and having a little bit of fun.
And I'm sure almost every single one of those guys had grown up playing hockey outdoors, too.
Yeah.
So, I mean, something like that where you can get back outside, like you were when you were a kid. I guess they were joking around. They were all out there with shovels clearing off the ice from, maybe it did snow for a little bit out there.
That said, I mean, you say these guys probably grew up like that. A lot of the kids nowadays, though, I don't think are – there's not many outdoor hockey programs still, I don't think, in the state of Minnesota.
Or you have guys like Zucker, who I think he grew up in, like, Vegas,
Yeah.
So it's like he doesn't have
there's
that.
There's no ice there.
No.
He doesn't have that outdoor
outside.
Experience. No.
I think Minnesota – is kind of lucky in that aspect, because I know there are still a lot of high school programs that just because of so many teams in such small areas too, that they are actually doing some outdoor practicing now, which is I think is awesome.
Yeah. I don't know. I remember playing some of those outdoor games, and it was when it was frigid out there, and you can only get on so many pairs of socks to fit into your skates, and your feet would freeze, and you got to have the warm up breaks, and but the hot chocolate was always good once you got in the warming house.
Well, now with the outdoor high school games, though, they've got the heated benches out there, and they're keeping the kids pretty warm as much as possible.
See, so it's a little bit luxurious then, is what you're saying.
Kinda.
It's more
spoiled kids.
Outdoor hockey is now more of a novelty than actually how it is.
Well, it's unreliable is the problem,
right?
Well, and that is one thing, is you can't control the elements. I mean, you get into something where it's a couple of degrees above zero, and you're gonna have nice hard ice,
right?
Or you can get into
the mid-30s, and you're looking at slush, and then the puck just kind of, you know, goes nowhere. So,
you know, and I'm sure you've taken a puck when it's, you know, 2 degrees outside. It doesn't feel very good.
No,
doesn't
it
matter
doesn't.
How much layers
yep.
you have on.
Yep. Things always hurt worse in the cold.
Well, yeah, so I guess that kind of brings us up to, you know, kind of touched on what they got coming up, though.
Yeah, upcoming games.
And what we have coming up, because we will not be here next week.
Nope, we're going
to
take a little...
We're taking a mandated Christmas break.
Right, government mandated.
Government mandated, yeah.
We had it agreed upon in our CBA.
Right.
I don't remember signing this.
Oh, you did.
Oh, okay. It was one of those nights.
Yeah.
So, Wild have one more game before their mandated 3-day break, and that's on Tuesday against the Flyers. Then they come back on Saturday the 27th, and they do a home and home on Saturday and Monday with the Jets. And then on New Year's Eve, they are playing in Columbus against the Blue Jackets. We got the Maple Leafs coming back on the day after the 1st, and then Saturday the 3rd, we are in Dallas. So that's a good amount of games. Hopefully we got a little bit more content to
go over. Six games, six games.
6 games over 2 weeks.
Yeah.
Are we covering Santa's delivery? No, that's not on the docket. Okay.
No. Santa's delivery. What's Santa bringing us this year?
I don't know. We'll have to see.
Bag of coal, probably.
Bag of coal. Have we been that naughty?
That's all we deserve. It's not the bag of coal we need. It's the bag of coal we deserve.
Maybe it'll help us get that fire going outside.
There we go.
So, game of the week time. Last week, I believe... Kennedy, did you pick the game of the week? I think you did.
I did. And I guess I'm picking again because I got the lowest score.
Yeah, you picked the Wild at Blackhawks. Blackhawks obviously won 5-3. Jive and I were both ones who picked the Blackhawks. Kenny kept his streak of Wild picks alive. I fell a goal short. Jive mocked me for picking 7 goals, and
I didn't think it'd get that high, but
that goddamn empty netter at the end of the game,
it stole the show.
It double stung. Not only did it make it so the Wild didn't have a chance, but then it lost me that extra point.
I didn't match.
I do have to say about that empty net goal is that he did at least. I mean, he didn't shoot it from center ice or anything.
No,
he took it all the way down right in front of the net. If somebody hustling back wanted to try to get it,
it wasn't a half court. It was a layup, and it was an easy layup.
I didn't get the hearing back in my right ear for a day and a half.
So with that, both Jive and I go up a point. Jive's at 9 points. I'm at 4. Kenny's at 3. Kenny's in the bottom now, so he gets to choose the game of the week.
So I'm going to take the first game, the last game before the break. The Flyers here. I am going to go... stick with the Wild, but I do think they're not going to go down 4-game losing streak, so I'm going to take the Wild with 5 goals.
And I also am going to go with the Wild. I went with 6 goals. I think your 5 is not too far out of the line, just because last time they played the Flyers in Philadelphia, it was a 3-2 game. So, but I think the Wild are scoring a little more now, so I'm going to go with 6 points.
All right, and I'm going to have to agree with you guys. So, unfortunately, nobody's going to gain ground on me here unless you get the actual goals right.
2 points.
But I got to agree with you. The Wild have to stop this streak somewhere. I think that they've been playing decent enough hockey that they definitely should beat a team like the Flyers. And as you said, Aaron, they've been scoring. I mean, the offense has been coming through. We've been putting some pucks in the net. So I'm going to go with 7 total goals.
Well, I mean, you know, look at, Boston is doing, I think they're doing mediocre in the East right now. I don't think they're doing anything great. I think they're kind of hovering about where the Wild are at, aren't they?
No.
If I remember correctly.
Yeah.
But Chicago and Nashville both are doing quite well in our conference. So, I mean,
last week was a fairly tough week. So to come out of it with a couple of overtime losses.
2 points. So, I'm thinking, you know, get this outdoor practice to loosen up a little bit, and
But the, another thing to be said here, just sorry to go back to talk about this stuff, is that's what the Wild need to start winning some of those games, like
yeah.
the ones against the more elite teams. We got to show that we can hang. Because, I mean, we can win all the games that we want against the dredgers of the league.
They're 6-1-1, I believe, against the Central Division.
Yeah.
So they're beating up in division games.
Yeah.
So it's tough to put a whole lot of, you know, light up fire in, you know.
Well,
you know.
Okay.
I guess part of it, though, too, is, I mean, yeah, they can take control over 2/3 of the game, but it's that last third where they lose it that.
Right.
Isn't well, not last night. They came back in the
last night was a different story. But
I think they've been keeping in things.
Yes.
Pretty late.
And you said that, you know, they come back. I mean, that's the thing is, this year we don't. If you go down 2 goals, I'm not counting the Wild out.
Oh no,
because I know that even with 4 minutes left, there's still a great chance that we could come back. And,
but it,
and,
it doesn't matter what part of the
game or win the game.
What part of the game it is. I mean, if you're only controlling 2/3 of it, that other third can be quite damaging, whether it's in the beginning, the middle, or the end.
Yeah, you got to write a complete story. I agree, but that's what it is.
Yeah, Minnesota is 6-1-2 against the Central. So
yeah, that's not too shabby.
You know, it's better than Dallas 0-7-3. You know,
very true. But when I'm saying, like, when we go to play these teams like the Blackhawks, the Ducks, you know, some of the, you know, the more elite teams, those are some of the games that we got to start.
If they're going to do anything in the playoffs, they have to win those games.
Yep.
At least some of them.
Because we don't want to go back and just go out in the first round to get in the playoffs.
So how many points are you going with?
I said 7.
Okay.
Yeah, 7 total goals.
Okay, okay.
Aaron, you said yours, right?
Yep.
Yeah. We all said our piece.
We set our pieces.
Yeah, all of our pieces.
Yeah.
Something like yep. that.
Mises to pieces?
Pieces okay, to I'm going to wrap this
all
up.
All right, yep.
When we're not live tweeting Wild games for 3 in the Box, and that's 3@3 in the Box on Twitter, you can find me on Twitter at Aaron3ITB. Lastly, a blatant plug for my band, Pinrot, which you can find at pinrot.com. Kenny.
And you can follow me at RottenK999, you know, audio stuff and random crap.
Jive. And I'm Jive. You can follow me. I'm at Jive Midnight on Twitter. Yeah. Happy holidays.
Ho, ho, ho.
Ho, ho, ho.
Holla!